You have your Bibles. Open up to James chapter 5, verse 13, 16. It's a scripture that we all know. It says, "Is any among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." See, here, we have three situations here that every believer goes through. Either you're suffering, you're cheerful, or you might be sick or what have you. So we've talked about you're going in a storm, you're either in a storm, you're going to a storm, you're coming from a storm. So with this statement, suffering is a part of our life, but it doesn't have to be a part of our life. If you get that. I mean, it doesn't have to be something that rules us and governs us in any way, but it is something that happens to us. There's affliction and everything else, but everyone will go through some type of suffering in their life. You know, I shared a little bit about on Sunday morning. I said, sickness is not something that you have to suffer through, but I understand that some people actually do. But sometimes we may focus more on our suffering than we do on Jesus. It's to get us focused right back on Jesus. You know, they're thinking that they're glorifying God. In reality, they're just glorifying the devil. They glorify the enemy with it. Can you turn my gain down a little bit? Am I like bouncing? But that suffering, it's supposed to help bring you closer to Jesus. It says, if any of you are suffering, let them pray. Not let them talk about it, not let them badmouth us, not let them do all sorts of crazy stuff. It's to bring you closer to Jesus. Let him pray. And we pray to the Father. Is anyone cheerful? Let them sing psalms. Cheerful people sing songs all the time. Whether they're old songs, new songs, made up songs. If you're like me, I like to make my own words up sometimes, and I'm thinking I'm singing the right ones, and Chris is like, that's not even close. It doesn't matter. It's like I'm singing songs, and the reason why you sing songs is because there's something, you're legitimately happy. There's joy in there. It's you just start singing. My mom would start singing songs throughout, just out the house. I mean, she'll just break out in a song. What is going on? So, I mean, you sing songs because you're legitimately, I mean, cheerful. You're happy. There's something good going on the inside of you. And even if there isn't something good, that's something to start out and do it. If you ever lift up your hands and just thank God in your home by yourself. Anybody ever done that? Or maybe you just kind of give them the head nod like we're doing now. And just, Lord, under your breath, you're just so good. You're awesome. I mean, you just think about all the goodness and what and who he is and what he's done in your life. You say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for accepting me. Thank you for loving me even when nobody wanted to. Thank you. You're such a good God. Thank you for being faithful to watch over my family. Thank you for surrounding me with people who speak over my life. Thank you, Lord. A cheerful heart won't just sing. A cheerful heart will give thanks. Well, it will be a heart of gratitude. A well-known preacher said this, if the enemy can't steal your joy, he can't steal your goods. That's Jerry Savelle. If he can't steal your joy, he can't steal your goods. And that's so important. Not just for us, but we teach our children that. If he can't steal your joy, he can't steal your good. So if you ever get up and make yourself dance, if you ever get in a funk, get up and make yourself dance. Get up and make yourself shout. get up and praise. Lift your hands. I mean, that is just a sign of surrender unto the Father. Because your life is too valuable to just let it go away. Your call is important on your life. You may not be called to be up here, but you're called to be out there. And that's more important sometimes than up here. And you're thinking, oh, I don't have a ministry. You have a ministry in your home. Your children and your family is your ministry. Your friends are your ministry. Where you're at, where you work at, that's your ministry. Your ministry is everywhere you go. Your purpose is too powerful to just let it die out before you impact other people's lives. God loves a cheerful giver, and that doesn't just mean your money. It means your time. It means your energy. That means your talents. That means if you're giving clothes to other people and so that they can wear decent clothes, you're giving. He loves it when you're giving those things. Prayer. When you're giving prayer, when you're praying for other people, the Bible says the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And effective means someone who is able to produce. And God needs us to be able to produce in our lives, in other people's lives. And you get that results because you are walking with him. He's watching over his word to perform it in your life. A righteous believer is a believer that has a relationship with the Father and walk in his ways. We don't deem ourselves righteous. God does. It's his righteousness, not ours. See, God wants his righteousness in us. And he has set up everything for us to walk in his righteousness for his name's sake. And the thing is, it's like, it's hard not to walk in his righteousness unless we enter into pride. Because the word says that he is faithful and just to forgive us all of our sins and cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. God makes you righteous again. So it's kind of hard not for us to walk in his righteousness, because the effective prayer of a righteous man or woman avails much. And he needs us to produce those things in people's lives. Your faith ends up being contaminated if the enemy can get you into fear, doubt, or unbelief. Your prayers won't be effective. You won't get the results the word says that you'll get. Why? Because your faith is on vacation and fear has checked himself in. His word says that he became sin, I believe it's in 2 Corinthians 5:21. He became sin that knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of him. God made Jesus to be sin. He made Jesus to be sin. He laid the sin of the world, every evil, brutal, perverted, demonic, injustice, corrupt, vile sin upon Jesus, just so that we can have fellowship with the Father and walk in his righteousness. You are righteous because God has made you righteous. And as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Oh God, I'm just so unfaithful. I'm so unworthy. No, you're righteous. You are made righteous. You're looking at yourself from the outward man, not inwardly. God needed you to be righteous so that he can fellowship with you, so that you can lead others to him, to heal, deliver, and set free. He needs that from you. His righteousness, not ours. His righteousness will stand up for injustices. His righteousness will help those who can't fight or speak for themselves. His righteousness will seek to love those who need to be loved. His righteousness will fight for those who have gone astray and need to turn back to him. His righteousness. He doesn't need ours. Our righteousness can't save souls. Our righteousness is but filthy rags. You know, you wouldn't watch, I mean, just think about cleaning your kitchen countertop and you get that dirty mildew rag. You're not going to run that over your counter. And sometimes that's what believers try to do. They're doing it in their own righteousness. No, you get a clean one. Clorox, a little bit. You wipe it down clean so that you're able to prepare on it, eat off of it, whatever you have to do. God's righteousness works peace in your life. In Isaiah 32:17, it says this, the works of righteousness will be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace but a sword. Because that's when he was here on earth. But as the Holy Spirit is working, the Holy Spirit wants to bring us together in unity of the Spirit, a bond in peace. The Holy Spirit unites people, brings people together. That's what you see going on around here as revival. The Holy Spirit is bringing people together. They are all in one accord, one in mind. And if we get there, and I believe we're there because you're here. This is a faithful crowd right here. This peace does not come from man's doing, man's work, but from our Heavenly Father. Adam, when Adam ran away, when he sinned in the garden, he ran away and hid from God. But see, now we don't have to do that because of what Jesus did. We don't run away from God, we run to God. And in Romans 10:3, it says, for they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. So the Israelites was trying to establish their own righteousness. They weren't perfect. What God was requiring was perfection. His standard's not ours. We can't make it up as we go along and expect it to work. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. The effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever, being able to rest and sleep in peace and quietness. His righteousness. You're not being able to sleep. Whatever it is on your heart that is stirring you, just give it to the Lord. He never sleeps, never slumbers. There ain't no need for you to stay up all night. Being able to rest and sleep in peace and quietness, not tossing and turning, all disturbed because of certain situations going on in your life. And walking in God's righteousness brings quietness and assurance. Assurance means confidence in God. Assurance. If God said it, then that's all you have to understand. He said it, I believe it. What his word says, I believe it. And I think sometimes we got to get back to that because people want to just, I understand people want to go deep in every which way. It's like, but it seems like it's just they want to question that part right there. If God said it, that settles it. What do I have to debate? I don't need to know all the details. I don't need to know how my lungs work or that works. I don't need to know this right here. If he said it, that settles it. I just, my responsibility is to speak to it. My responsibility is to pray. My responsibility is to believe. My responsibility is to love. My responsibility is to do those things that the fruit of the Spirit is saying to do, of what we're supposed to live by. But if some people want to take that journey and go deep, they can go deep. Just enjoy the journey. Stay as close to God as you can and embrace his love and his forgiveness and his grace for our lives. In Philippians 2, 1 through 4, it says, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out for not only his own interests, but also for the interests of others. It's not about you, but it's about Jesus. Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, being of one accord. At the day of Pentecost, they were it can be a quarterback. Somebody might be an offensive tackle. Somebody might be the center. Somebody might be the guard. Somebody might be the running back, the wide receiver, the tight end, or what have you. Any positions I leave out? I don't know football that much, though. But everyone does their part in moving forward and advancing the kingdom of God. And the Holy Spirit helps us to do that in unity, rather than disunity. You know, even though we may be mad at people, we may be, it's like a guard saying, oh, the quarterback was talking mess on me, so I'ma just let that dude go right by me. No, we all have a part to play. We all have a part to play. Teams have to work together. Families have to work together. The church needs to work together. And if we come together and we are at disunity with each other, the Spirit of God moves away from us. When we're here together and then there's odd against anyone or what have you, the Holy Spirit moves away from us. He backs off. But when we're together in the name of Jesus and we're one accord, one in mind, he's here with us. Now he can do some things through us. Remember, Jesus, the Bible says that Jesus could do no mighty great work there because of their unbelief. We can actually stop the flow of God from operating in our lives together corporately if we're at disunity. I just don't want to experience the presence of God in just one minor part in my life. I want it all the way across the board. So wherever there's disunity, I got to get rid of. Wherever there's disunity, we all have to get rid of. So when we come here, it's, okay, it's go time. It's game time. I got to do my part. You got to do your part. So we're getting ready. They believe they are doing something that God wants, but causing division among the family of faith is not from God. So let us approach the throne of grace with boldness and also with humility. Humility is the key. We are not better than anyone else. We as believers all have the same anointing, the same power, the same Spirit living in us. And humility, as the Bible says in 1 Peter 5:6, says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. His ways, not mine. His joy, not mine. His righteousness, not mine. His power, not mine. His saving grace, not mine. He could do no mighty great works there. Wherever you're at in life right now, I don't know, but the Holy Spirit knows. Whatever it is, if you hadn't already, just give it to him. Let him take care of it. You don't have to worry. You don't have to worry. I know sometimes it's harder, even for me. I said this time, sometimes I worry. Why am I worrying? What good did that do for the last hour of talking about it and worrying about it, and nothing changed at all? And then as soon as I just stopped, I said, Lord, I give it to you. Light as a feather. So whatever is going on in your life, just give it to the Lord. Let him help you. Let him lead you. There was a time when I lost my wallet. And it was after I had already had to order another bank card because I lost my credit card, my debit card. And I was like, well, I don't want to have to order all these cards again. And I was all day long, all day, going around looking for it. Didn't know it. Just retracing my steps. Checked my jackets. Checked the counter. Checked everywhere. In my car, my wife's car. Checked it everywhere. So it's about 2 a.m. I'm still worried about this thing. And I finally just go to bed and I lay my head on the bed and I just said, Lord, number one, forgive me because I should have went to you first. But you know where I left my wallet. Can you help me find it? Close my eyes to go to sleep. There it is. right out here at the church on a little table. I was like, I came out here at 2 o'clock in the morning and found it. I was like, all of that time, trying to do it myself, trying to find it my own way. And then God's like, I can help you. And sometimes we do that in life. We get so frustrated because we want to do it. We want to take care of it in our way. God's like, I got the answer. Infinite wisdom. He has the answer for everything we need. And sometimes we just need to take the time to ask him, regardless of how small it is, to a wallet, to a ring, earring, your medication. Just ask him. He'll give you the answer. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman avails much. His righteousness, not ours. So as you leave here tonight, be bold about it. If you haven't been bold, be bold about it. I always think about getting a tattoo, and I was like, for what? I used to say I was afraid of needles, but after being in the hospital, they stick you about 3 times a day. You get over that pretty quick. And then today I was at the dentist and they stuck me with some needles in my mouth. I'm like, okay. But I was like, well, for what? To show off? I said, other people look great with it. I just don't like it on me. I like the way my body is. So kudos to y'all if you got one. Go ahead and rock it. But I want to continue to be bold for the Father. And if you're bold in your faith, you're going to get challenged more so than you ever did before. Some people go, I don't like that stuff. I don't like what y'all teach. I don't like this. I don't like that. Who do you think you are? You think that you can get results like Jesus? Well, apparently they don't know you're Jesus. We have to get to the place to where situations come up. And if you haven't already been there, God's got the answer. Well, let's pray. Revival, break out where you're at. You can be in the middle of a cornfield. Starts with you. Amen. Father God, we just thank you for tonight. We thank you for just being able to be in your presence again, Lord. We thank you for the hearts and minds here, Lord. Everywhere we go, we're in accord with each other and with you, that you are ordering our footsteps. And as we lean into your understanding and not ours, that you are guiding us every step of the way. We thank you that you watch over your word to perform it. Your word says that the disciples went everywhere and they preached, and you were with them confirming the word with miracles, signs, and wonders. And we thank you that you haven't stopped doing that in your children. And we just give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming out. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Awesome. Also, the Sidewalk Prophets Concert, Songs and Story Tours, will be at Beachmint Performing Arts Center Saturday, March 18th, 7 p.m. Tickets are $15. What's that? If we buy 10 or more, we can get tickets for $13 each. Okay, so... please let Vicky Rowletter know as soon as possible, and we'll get the better price if you want to go. There's a basket in the back if you want to give. If not, we'll shake you down in the parking lot. No, just kidding. I'm just playing. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.